Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Are you a bartender that dreads the phrase, "Hey, can you put the game on?" At Sports on What, we understand your pain and we're here to help. Over the air, satellite, cable, or streaming, Sports on What knows what channel the game is on and you can too. Follow your favorite teams, set alerts, and filter by provider to get the results you need. Stop wasting time searching and never miss kickoff again. Just download the Sports on What app and you'll always know how to watch the game. Available for Android and iOS. Start your 7-day free trial when you download Sports on What and subscribe today.
99.9 KISW. We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
Our question, who ruined the meal and how did they ruin it? 206-803-ROCK. We go to a Manhattan restaurant, a former hostess for the upscale restaurant known as Tao. Tao got so mad when she was fired, she dumped fecal matter into an indoor koi pond at one of the hot spots, causing thousands of dollars in damages, according to a lawsuit. Ariel Roman disguised herself in a black wig and glasses, then slipped into the Asian Fusion restaurant while carrying a large bag of crap at around midnight. The crappy ex-employee unloaded the smelly haul into the fish pond, then hopped up on a table and started shouting at diners. The wild incident cost the owners of the eatery more than $3,000 in damages. She could face criminal charges, which, according to Gothamist, first reported the lawsuit. She became furious after she was fired as a host and for violating company policy, according to the complaint, which did not elaborate on what she did. But either way, there were folks eating in there when she went in there, dumped the crap into the pond, then jumped up on a table.
An actual bag of crap.
Who ruined the meal? How did they ruin it? 206-803-ROCK.
Right, here's a good one from the text line. We went to Disneyland, and my son got himself a Mickey Mouse sword. Had blue bubbles and had a yellow bubble holder. Looks like one of those old lemon things that you buy from Safeway for flavoring. Well, a couple of months later, I'm making Slappy Joe's, which calls for some lemon juice. On the counter is my son's bubble container, which is yellow. It looks like the lemon juice holder from Safeway. Well, I used that in Sloppy Joe's, then a third away. Later, we're looking for my son's sword, and we found it for the bubble holder. And that's when I realized what I did.
You didn't taste that?
I don't think they knew what it was.
Like, you didn't taste any kind of detergent or anything like that in your Sloppy Joe?
Hey, man, I don't know what to tell you. I'm just reading it as it comes in.
Who ruined the meal? How did they ruin it? 206-803-ROCK.
Maybe the Sloppy Joe's are that good.
Yeah, it could have been like, ooh, I don't know what you did different this time, but keep doing it.
A little off, but I still love them.
Every time we bring up Sloppy Joe's, if I have like a pound of hamburger, I never do it.
No.
I make hamburger patties. I'll make chili. For some reason, when I have it, I just can't remember to do it. I've got the buns for the hamburger. Mm-hmm. I can make Sloppy Joe's.
Oh, yeah.
This can be hard. I just never think to do it.
The last time I got close to making a Sloppy Joe, once again, homemade chili, but I had some left the next day, and I'm like, you know what? I'm making Sloppy Joe's out of this. Cooked up a little more hamburger, man. It was tremendous. And haven't done it since. Hello, Jesse. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right, guys. So I ruined the meal, and I cook professionally. And I worked at the story is this place that you guys have juggled fruit at.
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
Looked at your shoes and fell down.
I know that place well.
Yep.
All right. So,
Ted's giving us a confused look. I was juggling apples. I dropped an apple in the
waitress. Oh, yeah. My bad.
Finest wait staff I believe there is ever.
Attention to detail is amazing there.
They're amazing. So I'm the sous chef there, and it's early in my career, and I'm doing one of those, like a tasty meal dinner. So my chef explicitly looks at me dead in the face before he leaves. The short ribs come out at 9 p.m. And I was like, yeah, dude, whatever. And I think I went and smoked weed in the walk-in. And then I finished the line, closed up my stuff, did all the orders, and I'm leaving at about 11 o'clock midnight. I live in Linwood, so drove home. And as soon as I walk in the door, I mean, just it hits me. I left the short ribs in the oven. So I drive all the way back. I open the door, and they're just burnt. There's smoke everywhere. It's the worst thing ever.
Now, were you supposed to?
Is this for the next day?
Yeah.
Is this like prep work for tomorrow?
Yeah, like the dinner was tomorrow.
Okay, all right. That's what I was checking.
And this like you have like this is like 80. This is like 80 pounds of short ribs for a big dinner.
Oh man!
And it's a wine dinner. And it's like, this is a big deal. Like, people paid a lot of money for this ticket, for this 8-meal course thing.
So how did you have to just get there early in the morning and do it again? I mean, they got to order that, right?
Well, that's what I mean. So as soon as I I'm in the office, I'm crying. I'm just having the worst time. I'm just like, this is the worst thing ever. So I remember, if I could have anything, I would love the voicemail I left that meat company and just bawling tears asking for short ribs. It's the funniest damn thing to me when I think back on it.
Did you manage to get the short ribs?
So what happened was, this is why the chefs make good money and you learn from them. So what the chef did when he came in, he was kind of just drinking a cup of coffee, and then he pulled the meat off the bone, and then we made a pasta dish.
All right.
Using the meat from the bone instead of the burnt stuff on the outside.
Yeah. I mean, what else are you going to do, man? Because he's not trying to spend that money.
All right, well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to change the menu, and there it is. Okay. And he's kind of just sitting there hyperventilating. I'm like, okay, we're fine.
It's also how you save your job. Like, look, if we can salvage this and make something, you might be in trouble, but you're not getting fired. Like, if I lose that much money on this,
Is that like the Southern short ribs, or is this like a Korean short rib?
No, these are just like, so the whole point of the dish was supposed to be like a short rib on the bone, you know, on top of like a plenta cake.
Oh, I got you. Sounds like a full
bone
meal.
Was supposed to be like a whole presentation, so it was like 80 individual, perfectly cut, nice, expensive short ribs.
You know, it's funny. I've had that at a different, restaurant style, the one you worked at.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. But short rib, when it comes on a bone, like it should basically almost fall off.
It absolutely should, without you cutting it off. What years did you work in this particular establishment?
All right, at this point, I was 19 years old when I was just telling the story. Like, this is a big deal for me. So what was that, 20? That was actually, this is going to make you guys feel old. That was
2024, yeah.
Wait.
The future? No wonder you couldn't pull the ribs out. You don't even know what freaking year it is.
2019, 2018.
Ah, okay.
All right,
okay.
Well, the place where the woman's coat caught on fire, owned by your same company, the seafood into that. So,
Really?
I think you know where that is. Yeah.
I did not realize that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Fine restaurant.
It's like a nice cold glass of water.
I gotcha. Okay. Yeah, yeah. I did not know that they were owned by the same people.
Who ruined the meal and how they ruined it? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Sean. Welcome to the men's room.
Oh, snap. Hang on a sec. Let me turn off the radio here.
All right, hold on. Yep, hold on.
He's getting it together. Hold on. I respect it.
Yes, hold on for a
second. I'm back.
You're back?
Yeah.
All right, what do you got for us?
Well, my ex-wife made a meat stew one time, all the fixings, carrots, potatoes, onions, super delicious. But instead of using a cup and a half of wine, she decided to use a full bottle in a crock pot.
Mm. How bad was that?
Well, it wasn't bad. It actually tasted good, but I was basically intoxicated for 3 nights of meals.
It got you drunk.
Not drunk, but I'm not a wine drinker, so I definitely felt it a little bit.
Right, a heavy buzz.
Okay. Let me ask you a question, man. What? I don't know. Meat stew sounds odd.
What do you mean?
The what?
Meat stew.
The way you said she made a meat stew.
It sounds very undefinitive, you know, kind of like, I got some stuff, I'm going to put it in the crock pot, let's see what happens.
It's basically just stew.
Yeah, that's basically what it was.
Yeah, I know, but Thrill's with me. When you said meat stew, I thought we were going to end up with some kind of odd animal in this stew.
Yeah, I mean, because people have beef stew, you know, but just like meat stew. I'm like, okay.
Well, I would hope it was a beef stew. Yeah. It was chunks of some sort of meat.
Chunks of. You should write menus for restaurants. Our stew has chunks of some
chunks
kind of meat.
Of some kind of meat.
There's some kind of animal. It is in cube shape, and it will be in your bowl.
We put it on your plate.
It's got a full bottle of wine.
Give you a fork. Who ruined the meal? How they ruined it? 206-803-ROCK.
Would you eat at a place just called Mystery Meat?
No.
If it's a restaurant, yes. Because I feel like they have to have something that backs up that questionable of a name. It's like beer, right? Moose drool. Typically, if you said, would you drink a liquid called moose drool, I would say no. But you go, well, it's a beer. I go, okay, with that kind of name, there's got to be something good about it, right?
Right.
So if you just called it Mystery Meat, but it's an actual restaurant, and they never really told you what you're eating.
All right, maybe not a restaurant. Let's say, though, take any of the steakhouses, right? The Met.
All right.
El Gaucho.
Like on the menu it says.
Right, and just Mondays is Mystery Meat Monday. So you know, right? I'm trying to think. What's the other one on Lake Union? Like the other good steakhouse?
Daniels.
So take any steakhouse, right? They're very good.
Right. You know these places are good.
It's going to be prepared correctly.
Yeah. You just don't know what it
is. You just don't know what the meat is.
Right. Well, yes. Dude. Yes, I would. Okay. Now, based on that.
I don't know, man.
If it's, well, because it's Daniels or it's the Metropolitan or something
like
that.
Well, it's here, yeah.
I'm just saying, like, you know, you might not want to know what the meat is, but whatever that meat is, they did it right.
Correct.
Right? So if I eat it and I go, this is delicious, and they say, that was human, I might not be happy to hear that, but I go, well, you guys did a bang
job.
What if we're
in just a random-ass country?
No, sir.
Okay, all right.
I don't want to eat snake because I hate snakes.
Right.
But what everybody describes it, like, I like gator, which is a reptile.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was
gator's good.
If I was at Mystery Meat Mondays, and I'm just eating it, and then they're like, that's rattlesnake, I'd be like, you son of a... But I'd be like, all right, it was good.
Hey, listen, if you're listening at El Gaucho or Daniel's or Metropolitan Grill, seriously, man, just do like a Mystery Meat menu. I will gladly come in
if
and
it's
try.
In one of those places, you
Absolutely.
Know it's going to be good. Do you follow my kid on Instagram, Ted?
I do not.
Okay, so she was at this... She's in Africa.
He follows her in person.
She was... that's a long way to travel.
And don't I know it.
She was at a traditional wedding in Namibia, right?
All right.
And the meat that they were cooking, I'm just like, oh, God, what is that? And there were like four different types of meat where I was like, oh, God. But also should be noted there is a huge food shortage issue going on there right now. And so they've already told their citizens, look, you need to hunt zebras first, and then you can kill elephants, and then you can move on to giraffes.
Mm-hmm.
So in that order, just a couple reasons, believe it or not. One of them is to maintain the water table because those animals drink most of it. So
it's a greedy bastard.
Yeah. So the watering holes, they go there, and that's where they kill these animals so that they won't drink the water. Then with a food shortage, they use those animals and they make them for dinner. So I'm talking to my kid because I'm going to go visit her in December, right?
All right.
And I said, hey, listen, man, I just gotta know. I said, what do I eat? You know, when I'm down there, do you have any recommendations? She's like, I'd stick with the gazelle burger and the crocodile bites. And I'm like, you mean to tell me I'm going to be there for like 5-6 days and I'm just going to eat gazelle burgers?
You are going to eat gazelle
and
burgers.
And crocodile bites. And she's like, that's what I would recommend.
Oh.
And I was like, I'm going to come back like 10 pounds lighter. I'm going to come back like svelte. You know, I'm going to look great. Like, what happened to you?
I couldn't eat for a week. I don't know. Gazelle, both of those don't sound that bad. Gazelle burger.
It's got to be close to venison, right?
Just gazelle. Because keep in mind, these gazelles, it's not like they're farm raised, man. So I got to think they're going to be a little tougher and gamier because they're constantly fighting for survival.
Right.
You know what
okay,
I mean?
I understand that, but typically...
But the crocodiles should be delicious, I would
okay.
think.
Okay. The more sedentary the animal, as far as my knowledge goes...
The better taste.
The tastier it is. Gazelles can run like 60, 50 miles
an
hour.
That's what I'm saying. They always are because everything out there can eat them. You know, lions are looking
but to
for
me, that means the meat is not tender because there's no fat on that animal because they are all...
Yeah, that's my point. But she
said... Well, elk is good and it doesn't have any fat in it.
Yeah, but elk also aren't running all
the time. No, they just lay in the grass
the time. You know what I mean? There's a difference between having an adrenaline spike and not having a lot. Like, gazelles, it's like visiting South Chicago, except you're a white dude, your car broke down, and it's 2 a.m. You know, you're on high alert all the time because anything bad might happen to you. You know, an elk's just kind of like, ain't nobody doing anything. I'm just not. I got nothing to do.
Elk meat is leaner, but it's still a bigger animal, whereas I feel like the gazelle's going to be a lot of muscle.
Yeah.
But either way, I would take her advice. I mean, you ground up almost anything. I'd eat a gazelle burger right now.
Who ruined the meal?
Mystery meat.
And how did they ruin it? 206-803-ROCK.
Plus, like, Thrill and I like alligators, so I would think crocodile's got to have a similar taste.
I would think it does, but I really don't know.
Did you ever find out, Miles, what the meats were at this wedding?
I cannot identify them, Ted. It was on an Instagram post, and I just...
So is it just the meats after they're done?
Well, they cook all day. So, right. I mean, and there were probably 100 people at this wedding. So, I mean, it's just carcasses that are hanging. And
how long did you spend trying to identify the carcass? Like,
well, then they cook it, and they break it apart with the bones. They throw it in a big-ass pot, and then they make some
stew?
Kind of goulash or stew out of it, yeah.
I mean, that's only two.
They look very knuckly, kind of like bigger chunks of goat, so okay. to speak.
You know? I don't like goat, man.
Yeah, I still haven't really eaten goat.
Bro, I like goat cheese. I just don't like goat
man, meat. If you go to Jamaica, you can only have a choice.
Is it just goat?
Curry goat? Well, yeah, I mean, fish and goat.
I would take the fish.
And jerk chicken.
If you add curry, I'm fine.
I feel like curried goat is like the dish in Jamaica.
No, I tell you what, that was the craziest thing in the world, was actually tasting chicken. Until I went to Jamaica, I had no idea what chicken really tasted like.
Right.
And it was just, it's a much more flavorful bird than you think it is.
Sure.
In a good way. But we put so many steroids and crap in our chickens to get them to grow faster than just a regular natural chicken. It's leaner, but it's still juicy. The meat is absolutely fantastic. It's like one giant crispy chicken wing.
We had the same experience when we went to Italy. And look, I'm not a big vegetable guy at all, but my wife kept raving about the tomatoes of all the freaking things. And I'm not anti-tomato, but if you give me a slice, I'm going to move it away, right? And she's like, dude, seriously, just try the tomato. So me being me, the child in me, spent 5 minutes contemplating this by just staring at the tomato. Finally, I just popped it in my mouth. She's right. And it's the same thing. And when we talk to these guys, they're like, look, man, they said, your country is the size of a continent, so it's not like tomatoes grow everywhere. If you get tomatoes in a place that does not produce tomatoes, it ain't fresh, and your soil's different. This guy's like, dude, we drive 7 miles to a farmer's market. It's been the same guy for 19 generations, whatever. Right.
The taste of it tomatoes. Is, right. And those seeds have been around for hundreds of years, more than likely. That's the point of heirloom tomatoes, is you saved your seed.
Heirloom tomatoes are that noticeable.
They really are.
Right? This time, right, like August, September is when they're really in bloom out here. And I'm with you. Like, I'll eat bruschetta, but generally a sandwich. I don't really care for the tomato, but like heirlooms, I could sit there and just put salt on a slice.
They were excavating some type of property in Italy at one point in time, and they found an old cellar. There was a stone cellar that was in the ground. Seeds. And they had the heirloom seeds.
Nice.
They grew them.
Yeah, that was it.
They grew them.
All right.
And they've been in there for...
And they were like, holy crap,
been
man.
Been around for however long, you know, I mean, from an... I mean, the archaeologists, they're sitting there with paintbrushes and stuff clearing the property, so you know these seeds are
old.
Old, old. Hell with it, man. We're going to plant them, man. Boom.
But it's amazing how things are different. You know, if we're in the States, we stop and get a ham and cheese sandwich, what are you expecting to see? Right?
Ham and cheese.
Ham and cheese. It's probably going to be a slice of American cheese, maybe cheddar.
Regular maybe cheddar.
Ham. See, that does
and
not excite
probably
me.
Probably a white bread. But if you're hungry and in a pinch, which was... I don't remember which country.
Ham and cheese isn't bad, I guess.
But it's like, it's fine. But we're in a hurry. I can't quite translate all the menu, but I recognize that this says ham and cheese. I'm like, F it. And it was reasonably cheap compared to the other things on the menu. So I fully expect, it's at the airport. So I'm like, let me just get the ham and cheese because I'm starving. So they're like, no problem. And it is on croissant, right? And then it's Iberico ham, by the way, Ted, and brie.
Hamon.
And I can't, like, here we are serving that as an appetizer at a fancy restaurant. This was their ham and cheese, and everywhere we went, I'm like, I'm going to try this again. And look, I was much happier to get that than what I was expecting, but I'm like, there's got to be a place where it's just standard canned-ass ham and a slice of American cheese. No. Ham and cheese, like I said, croissant or a soft French bread, but brie and Iberico ham, and I'm like, man... You would pay 10 times more than this in the state. I cannot believe that's their cheap ass fallback. You give this to your kids at school lunch kind of sandwich. And I'm like, man, these kids are doing all right.
My daughter was teaching in Spain. She came back. She lost 35 pounds.
Really?
She didn't exercise. She just ate the food.
But she ate, yeah.
She just ate the food.
Mm-hmm.
Who ruined the meal and how did they ruin it? 206-803. Jesus Christ.
Hello, Brock. Hi. Welcome to the men's room.
Sorry, guys. I try to plan that so that doesn't happen to you guys. I apologize.
Yeah, you did poorly, but okay.
I know. I apologize. Hey, I know you guys get a million phone calls and talk to a bunch of people, but something cool happened the last time I talked to you guys. Right after I got off the phone, my college roommate called in, and I hadn't talked to him in like 30 years, and we're friends on Facebook and stuff, so I ended up reaching out to him, and that night we had like a two-hour conversation. It was really cool.
Awesome. Good, man. Yeah, I do remember the guy calling.
Is that guy like Casper or something?
Yeah, you guys were in Ellensburg together, maybe?
Dirk. Yeah, his name's Dirk. He actually moved down to California. That's how I lost touch with him and went to chiropractic school down there. But he's back in Seattle now. So,
oh, cool.
It's really cool. So this is back my ex-wife. That's the only thing I miss about her. She was a good cook. But so the very first time she made a meal for me, she's really good at. It's crazy how, like, I can do the same recipe that she would cook, and it turned out way better every time.
She makes it better?
She would make it better.
Okay. Because no one tells you their full recipe. Count on that.
Yeah, she was a good cook, and it just drove me crazy. But the very first time we were dating, it was the very first time she made a meal for me. And, you know, we have this, she's going through all this stuff, and she's got this recipe, all excited to make this thing for me. It's the first time she's making it. It's some enchilada meal, and in the recipe, they messed up and they forgot to put the line between the one and the two. It was supposed to be a half teaspoon of paprika, and she put 12 teaspoons of paprika.
Oh, no.
But that's what it physically said, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah. No, that's what it said. And we took one bite, and we couldn't eat it, and she was, like, really sad and depressed. And I'm like, don't worry, it's not your fault. And, yeah, it was disgusting, though.
Yeah, it's very important that you get those little small details in the recipe.
First date I ever owned with my wife, first time that she decided to cook for me, she had chicken in the oven, and it was baked chicken, and there were some other things that still needed to be finished up sidewise. So she took the pan out, and she put the pan on top of the stove. Now, unbeknownst to her, she forgot to turn off one of those burners because it was a clear top range and stove. So, you know, the type where you just see the red glow come up. But she did not know that burner was still on. We go into the living room, I think, to smoke weed or whatever the hell we're doing. And all of a sudden, within 5 minutes, there's an explosion. I mean, like an explosion. Shards of glass, Ted, that were 2 to 3 inches long were embedded in the cabinets in the kitchen and into the wall that all had to be repaired by the apartment complex people. If we would have been in that kitchen, there's a very good chance we would have been impaled by shards of glass that blew from that Pyrex pan.
You didn't take that as a warning? Then there's thunderbolts and lightning. Yeah. I'm just looking back, all these warning signs like, don't do it.
Yeah, I think we went out for dinner that day. Who ruined the meal? How'd they ruin it? 206-803-ROCK.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
99.9 KISW. The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill.
Coming up, return of Who Sucks Less, right after emails on our question, who ruined the meal and how did they ruin it? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, John. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola.
Hola.
How you guys doing?
Doing good, John. How about you?
Doing all right. You know, I'm done with work for the day, so I can't complain, right?
Nice.
Yeah. So I used to be, like, by family standards and friends, of course, pretty good on the grill when you had a backyard barbecue.
All right.
And what I was really good at making was burgers. And so, you know, that kind of carried on with me. I deployed to Afghanistan. This is like 2011, 2012. didn't touch a grill pretty much the whole time I was out there. Get back. The family's all excited. They're coming from all over. Friends from high school are coming out. They're like, hey, man, get on the grill. So I get on the grill, cook up some burgers. I get caught up in talking with everybody and catching up, completely overcook the burgers. I whip open the grill. I mean, these things look like hockey pucks. They're so black, right?
All right.
Dish them up anyways. I'm like, hey, everyone, sorry. You know, we can toss them. Let's go out to dinner or whatever. And they're like, no, it's fine. It's fine. You can tell by the looks on their faces and the way it sounds when they're chewing. These things are horrible, right?
Did they sound crunchy?
Well, they were extremely crunchy. Like, I think one or two even disintegrated as soon as someone took a bite. That's how dry they were.
But they fought through for you.
They did. And, you know, I apologize. Like, oh, no, they're good. They're good. They're good. Well, everyone's starting to leave. And I heard a few people as they're leaving, they're like, oh, my God, that was one of the worst ever.
Yeah. Well, you offered to go out.
Yeah, I did. I had deployment money, so I was going to pay for it all and whatnot. I was feeling all, you know, very generous considering it was my screw up. But, yeah, I was devastated for, like, months and didn't touch a grill for a while.
What did about you, now, man? Are you back to your grilling standards pre-Afghanistan?
Yeah. You know, actually with my wife now, she taught me how to do steaks really soft and moist and that right amount of pink in there. And so, yeah, my game's actually gone up.
All right. Let me ask you this. With the burger game, a lot of people have a lot of different techniques. Were you just good at actually grilling them to the right point of them being done, or were you throwing crap in there? Did you have your own recipe? I mean, was there something special about the way you were doing it?
I don't really call it a recipe because I eyeball it every time. Like, I throw some oregano in there, a little garlic. Sometimes I'll, like, chop up some red onion or in jalapeno and mix it in there, like, grill style, right?
Okay.
So I had that, but I would cook them at really high heats for only, like, a minute or two per side, so they were still really, really juicy and soft.
But crispy on the outside.
Yeah. I mean, right. You know, it almost looked like a Burger King commercial or something.
Okay. I just wonder, because I know everyone has a different technique sometimes. Sometimes it's just the straight ground beef and doing what they're doing. Other people, they'll put in a Lipton soup packet or they'll...
You can always tell the Lipton soup packet.
To me, that dries it out.
It's just a definitive taste. You're like, okay, there's Lipton soup in there.
I'll tell you what, to me, that was an old school, just little easy trick. But I did it a few years ago for a group of friends. There was like a large group, right? So I was like, hey, on Saturday, I'm going to make burgers, blah, blah, blah. I guess they never had it. They thought it was awesome.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
I just remember growing up with it. Not all the time.
It seemed like a way to kind of stretch bad ground beef.
Looking back to how most of us grew up back in the day, you realize that is exactly what your parents are doing. Special burgers tonight. Like, yeah. And you realize, hey, we're broke. So we're stretching his ass out.
Our question, who ruined the meal? How did they ruin it? Here we go. While making stir-fried noodles, guys, I somehow forgot that water existed in this world. I kept adding soy sauce. Ooh. When the liquid in the pan had evaporated, instead of literally just adding splashes of water to keep the thing from burning, the whole experience had my wife Googling how much salt can kill you.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my husband, actually a fantastic cook. He was a professional for several years. As a matter of fact, before that, in our early days together, he tried to make a lemongrass curry. Since we didn't have any lemongrass, he threw in some loose leaf tea.
Ah.
When we ate it, all these little lemongrass needles got completely stuck in our gums.
God,
in
man.
Your gums.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd make that substitute. Like, let's just make something else.
Making hamburger helper. Didn't have any regular milk, so I used vanilla almond milk. Thinking that the other spices and such would maybe cover up the vanilla. Spoiler alert, it does not. No one even can fake their way through that meal. First of all, it's still hamburger helper.
Yeah, right.
So you're already kind of sad. I mean, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with hamburger helper.
Right.
But I made it within the last decade or so, and I was just like, this is a very sad meal. It was tasty. It wasn't that I didn't like it. I just should have made like a bolognese and just boiled some noodles instead.
Dude, I haven't made it in probably 10 years, but it had to be like 11 or 12 years ago. I randomly one night made hamburger helper.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I had a buddy that lived in the same building. He just lived down the hall. Anyhow. They, like, showed up. They demolished it.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it just the original flavor? Because now they have all these different flavors.
They got chicken helper, hamburger helper.
It was just hamburger helper. I'm not sure what it was supposed to.
Two different things. Maybe.
I don't know what it's supposed to taste like. It just tasted like hamburger helper. And like you said, it wasn't good or bad. It was just Hamburger Helper.
Right.
It's fine.
The best thing about Hamburger Helper is you're actually somewhat cooking the noodles within the sauce.
Yes.
And if you do anything in the world, just cook your noodles halfway through, then drain them, and then have a pan on the side and heat up some sauce in there, and then put the noodles in there and toss them and cook more. Because that way all the sauce gets in the noodles.
Instead of sliding off the side.
It gives a little bit more flavor. Who ruined the meal? How'd they ruin it? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Josh. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hola.
Hola. Well, I hosted Thanksgiving one year, and I made some Meyer's lemon cake with a little bit of herb in it. And my brother's girlfriend brought over some mulled wine. We all ate a little bit too much and drank a little bit too much, and the entire meal sat on the table for 2 days. Nobody ate a thing.
2 days?
Yeah.
I mean,
I was in bed for 2 days.
Is that because everyone was sick or high?
High.
So, did they eat some of it?
There was some picking at it, maybe a little bit, but, you know, there was probably about 2 hours where we were at the stair landing just laughing.
So, you smoked the weed, you didn't put it in the food, right?
No, I put it in the Meyer's lemon cake.
Oh, in a lemon cake. Mm-hmm. So you ate the lemon cake first. I understand. All right, gotcha.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Well, at least everyone had a good time.
We had a great time.
I did nothing.
I've never been so high before that I did not want to eat.
I have.
You have?
Well, we were doing Weed Week, and this is when Robin was here. And I did not realize this at the time, but somebody brought us in a brownie. Uh-huh. And I pulled my name out of the hat. It's my day to get high, so I ate the brownie. No big deal. And it's like 10 minutes before we go on the air. Then Robin walks into the office and says, "Where's the brownie?" I said, "I ate it already." She goes, "Did you eat the whole thing?" I said, "Yes, I did. You were supposed to cut it into fourths." "Okay, well, I didn't know that." So Robin just says, "Are you okay?" I said, "We're going to find out. I have no idea. It hasn't hit me yet." I was not okay. I was stoned for like 3 days straight. I laughed through the entire show. Went home, I'm still laughing. I explained to my wife what had happened. She's like, "Oh my God, I laughed all night." So I wake up the next morning, I'm still laughing. And I'm like, "Babe, I can't explain it. Like, I'm still like super high, man. Like super duper high. But like, do you want to eat? You don't get the munchies, you know?" And so she's like, "You need to eat something." I'm like, "You're not wrong." Keep in mind, I'm laughing through all this. I'm like, "You're not wrong. I really don't want to eat. I just want something to drink." So I probably went a day and a half without eating, finally force-fed myself, because I'm like, all right, it's getting unhealthy. But I was so high for so long that even though I'm someone who enjoys being high, I'm like, I'm tired of being high. Like, I need to get back to reality.
Yeah, some of those ones were 100 or 200 a pop.
I think mine was 100 one.
Yeah.
But I didn't know, so I ate the whole brownie, and I'm like, uh-oh.
Who ruined the meal? How'd they ruin it? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Sarah. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello.
Hola.
How you guys doing?
We're doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well.
All right.
That is good news.
All right. So how I ruined a meal, it was me. I was born on Christmas. So my mom was cooking Christmas dinner and had to drop everything and go to the hospital and give birth.
Well, that's bad timing, yes, but...
So wait, were like other family members bitching, like, "Well, I didn't get to eat Christmas dinner."
Yeah, right. Well, not so much that, but the only thing my mom wanted was the mashed potatoes and gravy, and that was the one thing that my aunt forgot was the gravy.
All right. Your gravy's important.
How long were you in the hospital? Were you able to give birth that day, or did you have to... Sometimes it takes a little while.
Oh, no, I was born just a couple hours later.
All right, so you're ready. You were ready to rock.
They actually turned her away at the Forks Hospital.
They turned her away?
Yeah. We lived in Niebe.
Forks has a hospital?
Yeah, and they turned her away. They said, "You're not going to have that baby today." And then we went and got a motel room and a couple hours, you know, got in the door, turned around, went back to the hospital, born like 2 hours later.
Okay. I was going to say, you have to think that would be a short staff day in the world of the medical
world. Yeah, Christmas Day.
Yeah, right.
That's not going to be easy to pull anybody out of anywhere.
I'm shocked they even have a hospital.
A fort?
Have you ever been there?
I have not been there yet.
It is a tiny town.
Why did you go? I know, like, because of Twilight, a lot of people went there, but everything I'd heard from anyone who went, even the massive Twilight fans who have traveled across the country, they wanted to see Forks, they're like... I'm glad it's close to Seattle.
I mean, I'd bring ass back to Seattle or Olympia or Tacoma or just drive south to Astoria. I mean, you got to go.
I went out there
and
I got a cabin on like the Salduck River.
Okay.
And it was outside of Forks. And then, like, you know, you got to go see it. And then we wanted to go over to, what's it, La Push? I think that's the beach out there.
I think you're right.
Right. So, like, we didn't go over there to go to Forks. We were just like,
it's there.
It's there. And yeah, I don't know what I expected. Just, I was like, jeez. Wow.
I think the woman who, Stephanie Meyer or something like that, whoever wrote the books, I'm pretty sure she admitted, like, she had never been to Forks. But for the purposes of this book and Vampire, she had to find a place that was dreary.
Correct.
And did her research, and Forks popped up, so she's like, perfect.
And it's pretty famous for, like, the amount of rain and just gray days and everything. But, yeah, there's not much going on. There's, like, one little makeshift party bus that's, like, you know, the movie tour or whatever. It's just, like, or Twilight tour.
Oh, Lord.
But it was also, like, December. So, I mean, there was not much going on.
Okay. Good to know. Hello, Sarah. Welcome to the men's room.
Hi, thank you.
Hola.
Hola.
So, Sarah, who ruined the meal?
Oh, my amazing husband, who's the worst cook ever.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, that's fair.
Good at a lot of things, not cooking. I swine flu was horrible, completely knocked me on my ass. And I just told my husband after a couple of days, I just want some top ramen. Can you just make me top ramen? And so he's like, okay, I'll do my best. I'm going to try.
Wait. So, what are you thinking in your head when you say, can you make me top ramen? And the response is, I will do my best.
This is what? A cup of water boiled and
boil water, drop noodles,
drop,
pull noodles
drop in
right?
the seasoning packet and put the noodles in, right?
Yes. I'm thinking this is the one thing I can ask my husband that you can't mess this up, right? Like, it's so simple. You'd think. No, he eventually brings me a bowl of cold noodles with the seasoning just dumped on top. And I was like, why is it cold? And he said, well, I strained the noodles, thought that didn't look right. So then I just filled the bowl with some cold water.
What?
How is he alive? I mean, how did he make it? And then you are attracted to him. Does he have a magical penis? What's going on?
He does.
All right, I was going to say, man, you're fighting through. You're fighting through the dumb wall for some reason, and it's got to be good.
Top ramen. Because
if you brought me that, I'd be like, dude, I'm sorry, man. Listen, I just need to take a walk and think about things.
Has he tried to make anything else?
He has now mastered oven pizza. And
what do you mean oven pizza? Like putting a frozen pizza in the oven?
Yes.
This is the man who messed up top ramen. Let's go baby steps.
Did his mom hold his hand through life? Did his mom hold his hand through life?
Yes.
Okay, that explains some of it. So he basically...
No, it doesn't.
He never
not
did,
top ramen.
He never did anything to feed himself until he left that home.
No, when I met him at college, I would go visit him at Georgia. He had no food in his apartment, like an apartment. We're not talking dorm. And I was like, what do you eat? And he's like, I just go eat at the cafeteria every day.
All right,
and
fair
all he had was protein powder and Coke.
Oh, so Coca-Cola. All right. So basically, you got a big, meaty Georgia dude who's buff, but doesn't know how to do anything else.
Exactly.
I think it might be sacrilegious in Georgia to not know how to cook. When you get to the South, man, if you don't know how to cook, man, you're almost worthless.
I think you're fine not to know how to cook, but you better be married to someone who does.
Something.
He's from New Jersey, in case that helps.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, there you go.
I mean, New Jersey has great food, too.
I don't know. Yeah. Can his mom cook?
No.
Oh, well, there you go.
Is he Italian?
No, he's not.
Okay. Every Italian I know can cook.
Sure.
All right.
I wish he was Italian.
Well, yeah. Right, he still has a magical penis. Take what you can get.
Yeah, man. Whatever.
Jeez, a whiz.
How do you mess up top ramen?
Just the idea of not being able to read instructions and being able to pull it off is what I, even if I have not made something before, I will look at the recipe, read the instructions. I might not nail it, but I'm not going to absolutely, completely, I don't know, make it to the point where it's not edible.
And again, this
I don't
is
want, top deconstructing it or whatever.
Ramen. How many instructions are on top ramen?
Boil a cup of water.
Put the noodle packet. Boil the noodles, right? Then add the seasoning packet.
You can do either one, but you definitely want to boil the seasoning packet because it's dry spice and you're making a soup.
Yeah, boil the water,
You put the noodles in for 3 minutes, and then you add the seasoning.
I mean, those are literally the instructions.
Right. Yeah, you've made top ramen.
It's like there's instructions on a box of Pop-Tarts, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, man. Like, who is this for? Put them in the toaster. Mm-hmm. Turn the toaster on.
Who ruined the meal? How did they ruin it? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Erica. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So my best friend, she went to make us tuna fish sandwiches. Oh. Super easy, right?
Yep.
I'm like, what is wrong with this flipping sandwich? She didn't drain the water.
Mm. Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh. She didn't drain the water. Added the mayo to it and made a sandwich.
How? Yeah. I mean, could it even stay on the bread or was it just slopping out?
It was just kind of mushy, you know. Yeah, I was like, how do you ruin that?
Did you ask her if this is how she always did it?
Yeah, hey, what's wrong with this sandwich? How'd you make it? Oh, and she explained it. I was like, oh, yeah, you need to drain that. I don't know how she's gone all her life without knowing that, but yeah.
God, she should marry the guy who made the top ramen.
I'd almost rather have the water, the undrained tuna, than you cooking the tuna and me tasting the metal from the can.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, tuna casserole out of a can, there's a very distinct metallic flavor that, you know, and then there's the
peas. Yeah, it's been sitting in a can.
And it's just.
And now you're heating it up.
It's that is maybe the worst meal that my mom made growing up. I mean, you could smell the smell of the can when you walked into the home because the casserole was in the oven.
Right.
I'm just like, God, that was absolutely awful. I'd rather
tuna and aluminum wafting through the house.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously,
two great
tuna
smells.
Casserole was kind of a big one. At least one day a week in my house too.
I'm happy to say that is not one of the things my mother made.
Yeah,
right. Because my mom would just make like, remember the bag of like egg noodles or whatever.
Yeah,
sure. I like that.
Right. It was like those, the can of tuna. I think a can of cream of mushroom.
Something. Yeah.
She would just cook it, but. Yeah, I was never a big fan.
I can hear in your voice it's not bringing back good memories.
Yeah, I'm just like, I mean, I
did
honestly.
Did she like it?
But she absolutely loved it. Oh, and you got to keep in mind, my mom always worked a 9-to-5 job.
Yeah.
So she's just trying to cook something quick.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure we did it for years. And then I guess either me and my sister, at some point, we would eat so little of it, she just finally was like, I'm not going to
get it.
Right? Like, I'm not going to make it anymore. Screw it.
Yeah, my mother used to make a tomato pie, which now is more like a frittata kind of thing.
Yeah.
But when she used to make it back in the day, just picture cherry pie with the crust on top, crust on bottom, and in lieu of cherries and the juice.
You're talking about like a pie crust or like a traditional pie crust?
I'm talking like whatever Crisco sold, pie crust.
Okay.
And then there's a pie crust on top, and in between these crusts, it's just like stewed tomatoes and nothing else.
No seasoning.
No, and she loved it, you know, and I get it. But that also became family dinner, and that was the deal where my mother, well, both of my parents, you cannot leave the table until you finish this meal. And without any argument, no drama, I would sit there until bedtime.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would ask, because you're going to be hungry. And I'm like, listen, man, I'd rather be hungry than eat this. And she would make it like once or twice a week.
Mm.
And I'm just like, why do you keep making this one? Like, my father, I think, just forced it down because he stuck being married to her. My brother has the same appetite as her, so he would devour it. But I'm like, man.
Okay.
Because my dad would tell, on certain occasions, not necessarily the tomato pie, but we'd eat certain things, and I'm staring at it, and I'm like 10 years old, and he would have a fork full up in his mouth. And he'd be like, Stephen, I don't like it either.
No, he didn't.
Oh, he would openly say that. Like, I don't like this either, but just eat it anyway. And I'm like, man, that's all you, brother. I'm not doing this.
I respect that. That's a dad move.
Yeah, he was straight up about it.
Like, I don't like it either, but you got to eat it, dude.
Yeah.
So why in our adult lives do we not make food that just sucks that we don't want to eat and make that because of our kids?
Because it seems mean.
It does.
And unnecessary.
Like, is that because that happened to us?
Yes. Probably. I never want my kids.
I'm sure there's stuff you cook that your daughters didn't like.
But not that
I would always ask them what they wanted me to make, and then I'd make what they wanted. Because I just wanted them to eat.
Yeah, you just want them to eat.
I just want them to eat. So, like, I was never, like, trying to force lima beans on them or something that was just, like, mixed vegetables.
My mother made me eat a lima bean. I saw them on the plate. I'd never had them before. And something about them just told me, you're not going to like me. My mother, and so the whole family's getting on me at this point. Like, just try one. And I popped one in my mouth, I chewed it, I swallowed it, and man, it was like a ricochet puke, just all over the plate. And I'm like, I told you, man. Mm-hmm. I told you.
Who Sucks Less is coming up, and we've got your emails on the way next from the men's room at KISW.com.
What's up? It's your boy, the Ted Smith from the men's room. And did you know I have a podcast? Well, I do. The Podcast. New episodes uploaded every Wednesday on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.